This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3233 for Wednesday the 23rd of December 2020. Today's show is entitled, HPRPG Club Reviews Shadowrun 5e and is part of the series, Tabletop Gaming. It is hosted by Klaatu, and is about 54 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Cyberpunk plus magic, and a fistful of D6.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hey everyone, this is Klaatu. You're listening to Hacker Public Radio, and welcome to the Hacker Public Radio RPG Club. We are a social club of individuals who enjoy playing tabletop role-playing games, and we decided that we would meet once a week for about 2 hours to play role-playing games. We play one system per month. That's not aligned to the actual month. That's just we play 4 or 5 sessions of one system, and then we move on to the next system. In between, we record reviews, such as the one you're about to hear right now. This is the first one we've ever done, so the format might change a little bit in the future, might not. But for our first game, we decided to try Shadowrun, which is a very well-known and much beloved cyberpunk game. Shadowrun was developed and published back in 1989, and it provided a unique take on the concept of cyberpunk. Cyberpunk being, of course, a genre of fiction in which megacorporations have taken over the world. Who could imagine such a future? And rogue individuals called Shadowrunners, because they run around in the shadows, are hired by rival corporations, or sometimes other renegades, to enact some form of sabotage or reconnaissance or assassination or any number of criminal activities for the greater good is sometimes implied. Other times it's just for your own good. Shadowrun's spin on this, though, is that in this high-tech setting, magic has been reawakened. It has come into the world, and so you have people who are very adept on computers, but you also have people who are very adept at casting magical spells. So it's a unique world, and it's one that we really enjoyed spending 4 to 5 weeks in. Here's our review. So I guess we should probably introduce ourselves first, but the way that we'll do it is we'll roll initiative to find out what order we're going to be taking questions in. And then when you tell me your initiative number, you may introduce yourself a little bit. Since we're doing Shadowrun review, I guess we should do an initiative with Shadowrun die. So let's all roll 3d6 and add those up. Oh, wait, now I don't know who's going to tell me their initiative number first. All right, let's start with you, McNalu. What did you get?
I got 10. Well, I am McNalu, also known as Andrew. Been hanging around here in Hacker Public Radio for a good while. And I like playing role-playing games, which, thanks to Klaatu, I've been able to do properly for the first time in a few decades.
All right. Okay. Benny, what did you get?
All right, my initiative number is 6, so I'm way lower than McNalu. And right. As you heard, I'm Benny. I'm also an HPR host of maybe 6 episodes, so not a very regular one, but I did some episode with McNalu on Slackware, at least one. I'm not sure whether it was multiple. And I'm very new to role-playing. I just started basically during lockdown in a session with Klaatu, so this is very new to me. During my time at university, I kind of was opposed to role-playing, but I don't remember why exactly.
It is kind of humbling to think, or frightening to think, that your entire impression of role-playing is based on your experience with me. Like, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad
thing.
Well,
at least you got me into role-playing. Huh?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a good point. I did that. Philip, what did you get?
I got an 8, and last session was my 3rd session of role-playing, of pen and paper stuff, and it all started with a couch surfing session at Benny's, and I saw this player's handbook of the 5th edition of D&D on his table, and Yeah, I was interested in it before I thought of starting, and then one came to another, and I ended up in a Shadowrun session 2 hours later, and from that point on, I'm here, and I'm kind of stuck into pen and paper in a good way.
Normally, I would want to start with talking about character creation, because that's such an important part of RPG, but we didn't create characters for this because the process is pretty complex. Benny, I know that you have the Shadowrun, did you have a look at the character creation process at all?
Yeah, I just read the chapter this week, I think. It seemed very complex.
Okay.
Basically, like everything in Shadowrun seems complexer than in D&D, which
yeah.
is not necessarily a bad thing, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, there is, just for people curious about Shadowrun, first of all, I should mention we're playing 5th edition Shadowrun, which is important because very recently, like maybe less than a year ago, the 6th edition just came out. But in 5th edition, they have the official method of building a character, and they also have an extra source book called Run Faster, and they've got a couple of different alternative character build methods in there, one of which is the life module method, where you sort of use points to buy sort of chunks of your character's history, of the backstory, and you build a character from like these sort of modular things that would have happened in their life leading up to them becoming Shadowrunners. I like that one probably best. I quite enjoy that one. Okay, let's answer some questions. Let's see. 8. Anything specific you didn't like about the game? Is there a workaround for this? The first one to answer is McNallu.
No, I would say there wasn't really anything in particular I didn't like about the game. I think it was quite complex. It definitely had to my mind, had a steeper learning curve than Dungeons & Dragons. But I don't really view that as a negative thing. I think that just means that we would have probably had to play it for longer before I felt I sort of reached a level where I was kind of not worrying about the rules and just getting on with it. Because I think I didn't quite, after, 3 or 4 sessions, didn't quite get to that point. I was still puzzling over the rules more often than not. So I guess that, but it means that it's going to be harder to get into Shadowrun for the average player, so it'll have a smaller audience. But that doesn't necessarily bother me. In fact, I like complex rules because you get bored. It takes you longer to get bored, or it stops it becoming samey, maybe. That's the only thing I can think of.
Philip, what about you? Was there anything specific you didn't like about the game, and is there a workaround for that?
I can't really think of anything, but like, what I probably missed was like this classical fantasy stuff, like dragons or something, probably. I don't know, but I don't have anything to compare like to D&D because I just played Shadowrun in the pen and paper section. But no, I enjoyed it, and also like, and I can agree with the others that complex rules isn't a bad thing. I come from complex board games, so I really like complex rules and complex stuff, so that's not a bad thing.
Benny, what about you?
Yeah, I think I'm on the same page for complexity, since I'm a mathematician, so I like complex things. But I think one downside that struck me is that you have to pay attention what your group consists of. So you need more than in D&D, you need different skills. So you need someone with computer skills, or you won't be able to dismantle any camera or do anything in the Matrix. So I'm sure there is a workaround for this, because before you set up the group, the game master can make sure that your group is well balanced. But since we just, in our game, everyone just picked a character and we didn't actually discuss what the group should consist of, so was kind of a bit unbalanced. We only had magic users. We didn't have anyone with notable computer skills.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And as the game master, I did try to make sure that there were ways, or you know, that you didn't have to rely on the computer usage, since I knew you didn't have a computer user. But that's a great point, that just wasn't even an option for you, even if that was the avenue that, as a player, you think that would have been the most sense.
Yeah, I think the story also felt a bit like un-Shadowrun-y, because there were no like no cameras, no electronic sensors. So I'm sure you had to make sure that they all basically disappeared for us, for the game to be playable.
Yeah, very true. I think probably the correct Shadowrun answer to that would have been for you to use a contact and basically just make a call and just say, hey, remote hacker, can you hack into this system? I just feel I've never really felt like that's quite the same, because you're just making phone calls in your RPG. That doesn't quite feel as fun as your character having to figure something out.
And I think we didn't even have the context to contact for computer skills.
Right, because we didn't build the characters.
I was just going to say exactly that, but you have to have the contact, and we missed that too.
Yeah, and for me, for my answer to this question, that would be that I think the problem with Shadowrun really is the character build. I think that and I could just be missing something, but I've searched for like quicker ways to get a character up and running in Shadowrun, and I just have not found it. Even the run faster rules, even they aren't very fast. I did that with two people locally for a live game that I do, and it took us 2 hours to go through even like the quote unquote fast build system. And if you're not building your character, then you can't really prepare for the situations, because you're not choosing your contacts, you're not choosing, you know, all of your different skills. So yeah, I think that would be the problem. And I guess the workaround for that would be for the game master to just have some pre-gen characters of their own, which I did not have in advance. And I kind of did that on purpose, because I felt like we should be evaluating the game sort of on what it offers people rather than like something that we've worked around ourselves. I think Shadowrun could have better pre-gen characters available, and arguably, more importantly, I think maybe a faster character build system.
Yeah, I mean, for scale, Dungeons & Dragons, both my children, I took them through a character building for 5e this summer, and it was about an hour with a 9-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Easily, so. Yeah. Like when a character dies in my live game, I have them just build their replacement character right then and there. And they're out of the game for like maybe 15 minutes, but usually it's really fast. It's not like they have a full character, but they have enough to start playing at least, so that they're still involved in the game for that session. And then they can go home and finish it up, and that's, you know, maybe another 45 minutes for them probably. But yeah, it's a lot faster on D&D. Okay, does anyone want to roll a D10 to get the next question?
I got 3. Did your character have lots of roleplay potential?
Yes and no. Well, I think my character was a street samurai called Marshall. So basically combat, no magic, pretty straightforward. I don't often play, like, be a fighter in Dungeons & Dragons would be the closest, I think. I don't often play characters like that. I like a bit of magic or something different. So, but you know, I was happy to try something different here. And he was quite, I think it was a pre-generated character, and I got the feeling that he was a strong silent type, which is again fine, because I don't think I'm a strong silent type. So I quite enjoy playing characters which are not what I am. Trouble is with being strong, and the strong's fine, the silent bit, it's actually a bit dull for a role-playing game, because you can't, I keep wanting to say something, but no, I'm the strong silent type, I'm almost monosyllabic, and it really is an education in why I'm not a strong silent type in the real world, because it's incredibly frustrating for me. So he had potential, but it was more fun to play that my Dungeons & Dragons character at the moment is a chaotic religious dwarf cleric. And that's much more fun, because, you know, you can do lots of crazy stuff. Whereas Marshall, the strong silent type, he didn't get to say an awful lot. But it was a few moments, I think, where he just did something violent and unexpected, which was fun. But, So I think probably if I had longer, I could have fleshed that out a bit more. Well, there was one thing, actually, to do with the game world. The game world is set in this... The world is now ruled by corporations. What is the game year? 2070-something, is that right?
2075, yeah.
And the world is dominated by these big corporations, so it's like a dystopian extension of what you might argue is happening now. But one thing that I had in mind for Marshall is that he's actually quite sympathetic to the corporations secretly, even though he's not supposed to be, because he likes order and he likes strength. So although the characters in Shadowrun are supposed to subvert the
the corporations. I think I had in mind that back in my head that Marshall was not like that. And again, that's not at all like me. That's not my view at all. But I thought that might be fun. But I guess we'd have a longer adventure might have brought that out.
That's a cool idea too. It's that whole thing where you can't be like a shadow runner in this case if the corporations don't exist. There's balance there, and so you kind of need each other.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I was like hoping to explore, but maybe another.
Okay, Benny, what about you? Did your character, do you feel, had lots of roleplay potential?
Kind of yes, no. I think the problem with my character was mainly that it was a pre-generated character, which in some parts didn't feel like it was generated in a sensible way. So it was a 300 kilogram troll who was a shaman but had a huge battle axe, basically was known for using his axe, and it was more or less also the strongest thing he could do was just hit someone over his head with a battle axe. So even though it was a magic user, there wasn't a lot of use to the magic side of the character. Apart from this, I quite enjoyed being able to hit people over their head with a battle axe. So
yeah, and you did so quite effectively actually a couple of times. Philip, how about you?
It is a human, and it was probably easier for me to get into a human than in a 300 kilo guy that kicks in doors, for example. That was quite nice, and I picked him because the name of the file was Occult Observer, and that's kind of probably also his type. He's like really into, like, he's good at magic and very, like, his strength is not, the strength is one of the lowest. So this felt good for me, not being the one who goes right to someone and kind of starts a fight or something, just being a little bit more in the back and try to use the magic and the spells that I have. So that was fun. That was really fun.
Yeah, I feel like Shadowrun, it's not a class-based system, so when one has a character, it's not like you're saying, oh, I'm going to play a wizard or I'm going to play a fighter. You're playing a character who happens to sort of specialize one way or another. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but like in terms of role-playing potential. But I feel like in a system that's class-based, like D&D, I don't know, there's sort of clarity about what you're going to what you get when you pick up a character, because they're a certain class.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas in Shadowrun, you could be picking up something that leans one way and yet has skills in a completely different direction. I feel like maybe that's part of the sort of the confusion here. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just making that observation.
Yeah, I think to me that's actually a good thing, because characters get a lot more diverse and are not so black and white as in D&D.
Yeah, for sure. Benny, do you want to roll a D10 to see what our next question is?
That's a one.
What did you think of the game world? McNally, what did you think of the sixth world of Shadowrun?
I liked it. I liked that it is Dunedin, and is that what you call it? Is you call it Dunedin?
Yeah, Dunedin.
Dunedin, yeah, because it's, I think it's a place in Scotland. It's named after a place in
Scotland.
Yes,
it is.
Yeah. I like the idea, and we have we had a map with all these tall buildings and sort of drawn in a sort of line drawn isometric way. I thought it was really. It was really good, very clear as well for something that was isometric, and it gave you a real sense of the place. Also, I quickly got the idea that it was a real place projected into the future, again, like the whole game. So I really like that. The only slightly disappointing thing is that I've never been there and I don't know anything about it, but it did cross my mind that had it been a place I know well, like the city of Glasgow, I've understood the changes in the last 55 years, so I would love to think about what changes there might be to the city in the next 55 years. That gave me a connection to the world which I've never had or never thought about at all in like this sort of fantasy Dungeons and Dragons type world. And yeah, I really could feel, because 2075 isn't that far into the future that I can't imagine what it's like. It's not like 3075 or something like that. Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, I absolutely love the world of Shadowrun. I I was basically into it before we even played because I read a couple of Shadowrun novels and I'm pretty much interested in everything cyberpunk. So, and the Shadowrun world to me is a bit like, well, I like fantasy and I like cyberpunk, and the Shadowrun world basically gives me both. It gives me dragons and elves and everything in a dystopian future. So I compare this to Firefly. It feels a bit like Firefly, but Firefly is the same thing for Western and science fiction. It's this weird mixture of Western and science fiction, and Shadowrun is this weird mixture of fantasy and dystopian future science fiction.
In the main points, I can agree with the guys before me, but like one thing that that made the world a little bit strange and bizarre for me, but that's mostly my fault because I didn't read into it or didn't I just didn't get it, and was the part of how the kind of magic got into the world.
Yeah, I guess I didn't do a great job of sort of introducing that necessarily.
That's also kind of a part that I don't like about the Shadowrun world, because they jump through a lot of hoops to explain how magic ended up in our world. So I'd rather have them just have magic in a world which is our world in 55 years without any explanation. I wouldn't mind this.
Yeah, I guess ultimately the Shadowrun world relies a little bit on its own lore, where if you do invest the time in reading all the content in the core rulebook or in the novels, then you get a really clear picture of everything. And then otherwise, it seems like it's our world with a bunch of weird sort of overlays over it, which can be good or bad depending on like your ability to just sort of accept things. I will say that this world is, I think in real life, if you're playing with friends locally, then it can be really, really powerful to play in the modern world or the near future world, because you can just pick your local city and start imagining it as a cyberpunk dystopia. And everyone knows, like when you say, oh yeah, you go to the Octagon, like everyone around here, where I'm an hour away from Dunedin in New Zealand, so everyone around here knows exactly what I'm talking about. So there's a certain power to that. I think when you play online, it's a little bit less powerful because you don't know where people, what cities everyone knows. But if you all share a common city nearby and can turn that into a dystopia in your game, it is a lot of fun, I think.
That's a very interesting point. It sounds really good, yeah.
One thing that Benny said that never occurred to me before was the comparison with Firefly. But actually, one thing I didn't like about it was that projection into the near future got broken by the fact that, well, where did all these orcs and trolls come from?
right.
I felt that actually was that broke that a bit for me. But to be honest, I ignored it most of the time. It was only occasionally did it crop up. Had these been some kind of underclass or mutants, or that's another dystopian sci-fi, is that humans, the Elocs and them, what the Elocs and them,
I know what you're talking about, the time machine. Yeah, I don't remember the, it starts with an M,
Eli,
I think.
The Morlocks and
Morlocks
the Eloi.
And Eloi, yeah.
I got them muddled up. Yeah, so some, but 2075 is too close for that, so it's not a big deal, but yeah, it broke that little bit of reality for me slightly.
Yeah, that's really funny. I'd never, like Benny, I was introduced to the lore before I played the game, so it just never sort of occurred to me. I don't know, I picked up a book and this was the world I was presented, and I just thought, okay, well, that's how things are, and I didn't question it. And I wonder if that different approach makes you think about it from a different angle or something.
Yeah.
Isn't the story that the return of all those metatypes is basically the result of a pandemic?
Oh, really, is it?
Philip, can you roll a d10? Do you have one handy?
I got a six.
All right. What did you think of the mechanics of the game, McNalu?
So the first thing you need is a fistful of d6s.
Yep.
So I had five d6s, and annoyingly, four of them were the same, and the fifth one was what I borrowed from my Dungeons & Dragons set. So that was a maximum number I could bring together. Of course, you could use a dice roller app, and then you've got infinite dice, effectively. But I don't like that. I prefer to you know, I like the tactile feel of dice and the sound of them rolling around. So I go for that. That's not a problem. I think it was a great idea to basically say, if you roll a 5 and a 6, you've got a hit. And a 1, you've got potential for a glitch. So you don't add the dice together. So if you were rolling like 13 dice and then had to add them together, it would be like, which you do have to do for initiative a little bit. But most of the time you would roll, say like you had 13 dice to roll, and that did happen. You roll 13 dice and all D6s, and then you would count up the number of 5s and 6s. So there's a 1 in 3 chance of that. And then you would say, well, if you got 4 5s and 6s, you'd say you'd have 4 hits. And then you'd have to count up the ones, and they were glitches. And if you got a certain number, it was a critical glitch, but I've already forgotten how many.
Yeah, it's like over half of your die pool is ones, it's a critical glitch.
Yeah. So the analog is rolling a 1 on a D20 in Dungeons and Dragons on an attack roll. Yeah, that was fun. I mean, I think we forgot about the glitch in the first session, but then we were just getting to grips with the rules, so that's fair enough. And after that, I was really looking out for ones. I'll be honest, I find when things go wrong, some of the most amusing moments in the game. Not great for your characters sometimes. I had a critical glitch in the last session. But I think that mechanic, I think, was imaginative, new to me. I thought it worked really well, and I liked it.
What about you, Benny?
Yeah, I was about going to say the same as McNalu. I mean, for my time as a math teacher, I had around 100 D6s lying around at home, so this wasn't a huge problem for me, and it felt good. Like, I mean, rolling like 15 D6s. I mean, the most difficult thing was basically counting the amount of dice you had to use. So when I had to use, say, 16 D6s, I first had to count like 16 dice. And I'm not sure whether I got this correct every time, but I quite enjoyed the fact that you didn't have to add up numbers, that you just counted the amount of ones and the amount of numbers above 5, and they were like, either it was a glitch or were hit.
Philip, what about you?
Yeah, what I can add is that there are a lot of the core mechanics have already been told, kind of, but like there are a lot of other mechanics what are kind of complex, what we've already said, but it feels to me that because of that, you have a lot of, like, you have more flexibility and missing the words. It's more flexible. It's like you can do more. You can do, you're more free of how you play it.
Yeah, I think I get a feel for what you're saying. Yeah, the abilities, like, you have all these different skills and you can use them in different ways to make your character do different things.
I think compared to D&D, this is also interesting because you have a lot of different types of checks. You have checks which you do against someone else and against some abilities or other skills or knowledge skills, where in D&D sometimes it almost gets a bit boring because it's always like, well, yeah, that's another intelligence check and that's another charisma check and so on.
I think Philip kind of nailed it there. I mean, because it is so skill-based and there are attributes and skills and you can combine them in all different manner, I think that it's a lot more dynamic. And then sometimes, like, when you're in combat, you have to make, like, if you're being attacked, it's not just against your armor class. It's you have to try to resist the damage with a body roll, you know, or if something's being cast upon you, you have to resist it and so on. So, yeah, there's a lot of sort of back and forth in Shadowrun. I will say, from a game master perspective, though, that is brutal. Like, trying to keep track of all the different kinds of things, it's absolutely brutal. There's just no easy way. I mean, they've got a cheat sheet in the back of the core rulebook, 2-page spread of all the different kinds of things that you're supposed to keep track of, and it's just, it takes a lot of practice. And this being my first time running Shadowrun, I will say, oh, it's a 4-sheet spread. It's not 2 sheets. It's 4 sheets, 4 pages of all the different kinds of checks. It was rough, so I will say that from my perspective.
All right. Well, what I'm interested in now is, would you have to had to keep track of the ammo? Because he said you don't want to keep track of the ammo, but is this what the cheat sheet said, or is this what you said because you just didn't want to keep track of another number?
The latter. It was just me saying I don't want to have to keep track of another number right now because we were still learning. As a player, the experience in Shadowrun is so different as a player versus a game master, because like as a player, you don't have to think about all those things. You can just do what the game master sort of like tells you to do. I mean, you don't have to. I'm just saying like you can get by in Shadowrun as a player and not know that much. And so you can track ammo and you can track stuff because that's all you have to worry about is what is on your character sheet. And that's how I've pretty much played. I usually play a Decker, which is like a hacker in Shadowrun. And I just, whatever the game master tells me to roll, that's what I do. And that's kind of like, you fall into like this sort of like, oh yeah, I know Shadowrun. And then when you're a game master, having to keep track of all that stuff so you can help the players know what they're supposed to be doing, it gets tough.
Yeah, I can imagine that it does. One thing that I quite like is that when I had my critical glitch, I ended up being injured, and that then impeded my ability to attack, which of course has never happened in D&D. I mean, you can have spells cast on you and stuff that will impede your ability to attack, but you can be down at one hit point and still be, you know, which kind of sounds like you've had three of your limbs chopped off, you know, one hit point. Yeah, but you're still able to attack at full strength. So that was, and although it was an extra load on totally. You perhaps to keep track of these things, I thought that was one thing that was, you know, that felt quite good, actually. You could disable somebody by attacking them.
Yeah, true, and it's not even connected to the critical glitch. You even if you take damage, you have your dice pool reduced by one or two, and so on. So you get weaker when you take damage, which doesn't happen in D&D.
Yeah, Philip, I think you took the most damage in that one, in that very first fight. I think you were down to like what, nine damage boxes or something.
Andrew, yeah, so -3, yeah, exactly.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, so I do like about Shadowrun that damage is, I mean, it's a lot more threatening. Like, you don't take damage in Shadowrun like you do in D&D. You really think about it. I was in a cyberpunk game, not Shadowrun, a different one, for years, and we would avoid gunfights at all cost because just like in real life, when you get shot, like, it hurts. Like, it affects your character.
Yes, I think one thing to add is that there was a lot of stuff on the character sheet we didn't even touch. So it most likely the game is even more complex than we just realized.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I think in the ideal world, you know, everyone would have their Shadowrun core rule book, which is this huge book that's like literally 490 pages. And you would all know sort of like everything about your character abilities, and the game master would know everything about the game system, and it all sort of just comes together that way. I have played Shadowrun at conventions though, and you know, people are like you, they don't know all of the rules, they don't know everything about their character, so you can squeak by. It's just the potential to get deeper and deeper into Shadowrun is definitely there because the system is very, very complex. What did you think of the game adventure you played, which I'm gonna note here? The game that we played was called The Deck Job, and it is published by Shadowrun, the company, Tops or Catalyst or whatever they're called these days. So it was not a custom adventure, although there were customizations, as always, you know, as based on what you guys actually did. So what did you think of the game adventure?
I thought it was quite good fun. It felt quite compact. You know, it felt like a short adventure. There wasn't it was just to find this thing in a short time schedule, quite focused. So I quite like that. I think that's ideal kind of adventure for the taster that we were really going for. It was, I suppose, in some ways, I felt I couldn't quite get my head around what we were doing because I was so busy with the details. So I think I was so busy with the trees that I wasn't really paying much attention to the forest at times. But yeah, I thought the adventure was quite interesting. I like the fact that we were, you know, we were detectives essentially, and we we ended up right in the middle, on the, not far from this octagon you mentioned, and doing, trying to track some escape dogs through a park. Yeah, I thought that was, I thought that whole bit was quite good fun. So yeah, it was good adventure.
I think for me it helped to already know the Shadowrun world a bit, so I already knew a bit how the world worked, so I could pay more attention to the actual to the actual story. And I think it was a nice story for an introductory game, but it was kind of maybe too short for a longer real game. But of course you could make it more interesting if you had more time. I quite enjoyed the different stages. So first it was the reconnaissance stage where we checked out the streets and heard about this dogs and so on. And then we went into this one frenemies building, which was basically the first fight. And then we also went into building of a major corporation, which is of course what you often do in Shadowrun. We basically looked at every aspect of, or a lot of aspects of Shadowrun.
Yeah, that is one of the reasons I chose that particular adventure, just because of that. Of that segmented nature. I thought that was good. Philip, what did you think?
Yeah, I definitely like the detective nature of the adventure. Also, which fits to Bannon, who is an occult observer, and I definitely love the shooting of the grenade. This was awesome.
Yeah, I also noticed that I very much enjoy all the hitting axes over people's heads and shooting grenades and like all the explosions and fireballs and what have you.
Yeah, you make some quite bombastic impressions upon the world in Shadowrun. I will say that the adventure kind of betrayed me a little bit as a game master. There was a key point early on about how the deck that you're searching for gets stolen. And when I was reading through the adventure, in the first chapter, it sets that up. And I thought, okay, well, I don't remember seeing what the answer was, like how that got stolen, but they probably address it later. And then I kind of forgot about it. And as we were playing the very first session, I read the thing, you know, in advance again, the first chapter. And it turns out that the author just never, you know, he sets this thing up where the deck was stolen out of a delivery truck with no sign of forced entry, blah, blah, blah. He goes to great pains to set that up, and he never explains in the adventure how the deck was stolen. Ever.
Oh, right. Because that's right.
I never noticed, but now that you mentioned it, that's a point we never touched.
At the very end, I said, oh, well, Rinraku had, like, while the diversion of the dogs escaped was going on, Rinraku had a hacker break into the truck. And so there was no physical sign of forced entry. But that was the best I could do with a dropped plot point from the adventure. It was very disappointing.
Yeah, because because that's something that, I mean, that's the first thing that I went to.
It's a real puzzler.
Yeah, I was looking for any sign of how they got in. And of course, by the end, that was sort of immaterial. Yeah. But yeah, a clue there would have been nice, actually, yeah.
So especially during the first session, you know, we're all struggling to figure out the rules, and I'm struggling to keep track of all the story, you know, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, they don't answer this question. What am I going to do? And I don't know what to, you know, I don't know what to insert there to like answer it on the fly. Yeah, it was bad. So luckily in Shadowrun, you know, the answer can always be, oh, a big megacore, because they have all the resources, so you can never go wrong with just say, oh, it's, you know, it's Rinraku. They did it.
Yeah, and basically everything's electronic.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
There is always a way to hack whatever you want to have hacked.
Yeah,
right?
And you had no computer users, so it's not like you didn't search, you know, the electronics side of things. So yeah, it was just, but I felt like that was a real kind of cop out.
What was actually the thing that was stolen? Did I miss it or did?
Yeah, it was the the L77-2006. It was a computer, deck. I didn't make a big deal about it at first because I didn't know how fast we were going to get through the adventure. So as I had it in my mind that if we got through it too quickly, I might make it something different, and that would maybe send you on another, yet another leg of the adventure. But it all kind of worked out so that you got to where you needed to be. So it just, yeah, it just, it was a deck, a prototype computer. Benny, roll a d10.
We already had 3, right?
Yeah, we did.
We already had 10, so I'll roll again.
We did not have 10 yet. How easy was it to find information about your character or about the rules while you played?
I'll be honest, I struggled with this a little bit, but I'll tell you why. It's because I had to...
Oh, that's right.
It's because I had two characters that I thought were the same in two different formats. One was in an HTML file, I think you sent me, Klaatu, and the other one was in the PDF. And in my... I think because I hadn't really, although I'd read the PDF and the rules, I hadn't really picked up on the meta type business, or I hadn't registered. So I didn't notice at first that I was a different meta type. I was a troll in one and a human in the other. And then I just thought that was the only difference. And then it turns out that street shamans were completely different. There was almost nothing in common. So that meant there was lots of confusion on my part, but I don't think I can blame anyone other than myself for that. For it really was quite silly that it took me so long to figure that out. That aside, going to the short PDF which summarised the rules was pretty straightforward to understand. Although I do prefer flicking through paper. I've never quite. I mean, PDF is better because you can do a quick Control F and search it. So that's got that advantage. But still, once I've got to know the shape of a book, it's mentally, it's much faster for me to get my way to the right section and page. So I never quite got there because I didn't have a paper book. So, I think I was a bit peculiar in my experience there, to be honest.
Well, by the time I bought the player's handbook or whatever it's called, it was very easy to find everything. But before that, it was kind of, well, there is a quick start rules PDF, but they leave out a lot of details I was interested in. So it kind of, I think I bought the rule book after the first session, and it helped a lot to just be able to look up the details. Like, we had this one discussion, what was a critical glitch and what was a glitch? And I could just go and look it up after a session.
Yeah, for me, it was a struggle, to be honest, because, yeah, it was my first time playing pen and paper, and then I was sitting in front of this paper with like 1,000 things on that tells me something. And it was a struggle to find out what's actually like helpful right now, what can I do, and what is effective. I mean, it got better, of course, but it was a struggle.
So that's interesting because we kind of have three different experience level or three different experiences of the game. Because I feel like, Philip, did you even have the quick start PDF? Did I not? I probably didn't send that to you. Yeah. Okay. So you had nothing. No. Benny or McNally had the quick start guide only, and then Benny, you started with quick start and then had the PDF of the book. That's kind of interesting. I've got the physical book and I've had it for ages, and so it's been, I mark the sides of the pages for the different sections, and so I've got it well, sort of well marked up. It was relatively quick to find things for me, but I do feel like this really does, in a way. Well, first of all, I think it would have been an interesting experiment to try to run a game of Shadowrun just with those quick start rules, just to see if that's even feasible. I kind of can't imagine that it would be, but that would be kind of interesting. Because as a whole, I feel like the fact that Shadowrun is not open game license is kind of tough. And it never really dawned on me just how tough it would be. But like for Shadowrun, I feel for a really, really successful game, I think everyone kind of needs to go out and buy the book, which, you know, potentially that's asking a lot. Like, it's really asking people to invest in the game up front, whereas for D&D, you can just, you know, one person at the table can have a player's handbook, and that's all you really need. And you can go online and look at the free rules. So, yeah, Shadowrun being sort of like this non-open system kind of actually made a difference in this game, I think.
I think that's why when I picked a character, I avoided magic. I thought magic always complicates things. So if I'm learning something new, I'll avoid magic. So that was behind my choice. But of course, if we all did that, then we wouldn't really get the proper game experience. So it's a problem.
But what I do have to mention is that although it was a struggle, it was still fun. So it wasn't like the struggle was not too big that it was that I didn't enjoy the game. That has to be mentioned, I guess.
That's a great point. Yeah, and I think that's ideally. I mean, for role playing, for tabletop role playing, I think generally speaking, that's more or less true. As long as you have a fun group to play with and everyone's just sort of in it to have fun, even if you're getting the rules wrong half the time, it's still fun. So like it just works.
What I was going to say about running a game on the quick start rules is that there is a huge problem using magic because I don't think any of the spells or at least most of the spells are not explained anywhere. So you have to have the rule book.
That's an excellent point. Yeah, the spells... you will literally not know what the spells do or how they work without the actual rules. That's a really good point. And that would go for the Matrix as well. Did you guys understand the stats of your character and how long did it take you to learn them, McNalu?
I think I got the basic idea after the first session. And I think I was... but then I missed 1 week. So that meant there's a bit of a memory hole yeah. there where you get rusty. Well, my memory gets rusty, so I think that slowed me down a little bit. But I know I think I got a reasonable feel. I mean, the stats were quite simple in a sense. It's how you used them and how you put them together that was complex.
Yeah, I think I understood the stats we actually used after one session, but there were all those numbers on the sheet that I mentioned before that we didn't even touch. So that's why I don't know anything about those.
Okay, so no, it took me, as I said, I like the attributes. Yeah, this is not so hard to understand, but like the others, like because usually it just says a spell and then just the name of the spell and then a lot of different stuff that is not really like, yeah, that I don't get. So yeah, it was hard for me then, but it helped. I just asked like, what is that? Was this what can this do? And then yeah, we worked it out somehow, but yeah, it wasn't really clear for me.
Yeah, I feel like the basic idea you get pretty quickly. It's like, okay, I've got an attribute, and then I combine that with some skill, and that becomes my dice pool that I roll, you know, and you get that main that idea, but the detail of when to use one or the other and when to roll on those can get complicated. Don't think it helps that initiative is a completely different system as well. So you've got that sort of thrown in there, and you've got default rolls where you just roll an attribute, but you minus one rather arbitrarily. So it's there's a lot of like exceptions to any given rule, I think, in Shadowrun, which makes it difficult to track.
Yeah, I think they even suggest in the quick start guide, they even suggest that you at the beginning you write down the tests you actually run. So you write down the limit of a test and the attribute you're using and the skill and so on before rolling the dice.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I kept looking for online was a really good sort of task-based or test-based cheat sheet. There's a certain menu here, right? I mean, like we can only do a certain number of things with our die, and surely there's a list somewhere of each one and how to do it. I never did find one that like sort of broke it all down. I don't know, it seems like there must be some kind of infinite combination of what you can do, because I just couldn't find the quick and easy version of like, here's everything you can do with your die in Shadowrun and here's how to do it. It was really hard to find.
So I suppose the first question is I'd ask myself is, would I play it again? And the answer would be, oh yes, yes, definitely. The second question would be, am I in such a rush to play it again that, say, I would be asking that we pause our current weekly Dungeons & Dragons sessions and did it instead? I think that would be no, because what I would like to do is move on to the next one. So I liked it, but not so much that I'm desperate to dive into a longer game right now. Definitely at some point in the future, but at the moment I like the idea of tasting different rule sets. So it's actually succeeded in giving me a desire to go out there and try other game mechanics and other scenarios other than Dungeons and Dragons, which I'm familiar with, but it's made me want to do that more than it's made me want to play Shadowrun, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
When the first session of, well, not the first, when this adventure stopped, I felt quite sad that basically Shadowrun was over, but now I feel like McNalu, it will be fun to try out other gaming systems or other RPG systems. So, but I definitely want to go back into the Shadowrun world someone in the future. And if someone who listens to this, if someone wants to get into the Shadowrun world, I think a very good starting point is just to read novels. So you don't have to actually play the game to get something out of the stories from the novel.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think the novels, they're just so satisfying. They're good cyberpunk fiction. They're just a lot of fun.
I think I started reading Shadowrun novels because you once posted a list of of cyberpunk books in the SDFB board. Could this possibly be?
Yep, that sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yep. So you even got me into Shadowrun, not only role playing. So it's all
that's
you.
That's so cool. Yeah, that's so cool. That's so crazy. Philip, what about you?
Yeah, my last thought is like, yeah, I think Shadowrun is a game that really needs time, and the more time you put into it, the more fun it gets. It's like if you play for really like a decent amount of time and you get what you can do and what all these things in your sheet says, then it can be a great amount of fun, I guess. Because then you can do a lot of, like, yeah. It's very precise then, I think, and you can really do a lot of things differently. And that's, yeah, I think it needs time, a lot of time.
I think that's super insightful. I mean, I do think that the curve is different than a D&D curve. Like in Shadowrun, you're going to start out sort of not knowing what you're doing, and the more time you spend, the more fun you have. And in D&D, the same is true. I mean, like you'll start out not knowing anything, and then as it ramps up, you'll have fun. But if you spend more time and effort in D&D, then you can even have yet more fun. So I don't know, somehow sort of D&D is more tolerant maybe than Shadowrun in a way. But Shadowrun, I think, yeah, the more you know about it, just the more fun you have. For the game master, I think it's a lot tougher to run Shadowrun. And part of that might be because I'm not as familiar with the rules. So maybe I'm being a little bit unfair there. I guess I'll find that out for myself the more RPGs we try. Well, I'll find out what it's like to game master different systems. But yeah, overall, I'm with you guys. I think that the world is a lot of fun. I think the game was really entertaining. Would love to play more of it at some point, but I am ready to try the next thing as well. I don't know, unless anyone else has anything to say, I think that kind of sums it up for Shadowrun.
One thing that's maybe also worth mentioning, even though I have absolutely no experience with it, is there is a thing called the Runner's Hub on Reddit, where they actually run online Shadowrun games where you can just join. So I might even give this a try if I feel that I missed the Shadowrun world too much.
That's a really great tip. Yeah, I've played some forum games online, not of Shadowrun. They're obviously different because you have to wait for the posts to come through, and yeah, the cadence is definitely different. But it is a fantastic way to like learn more about a game or just get your fix on that game. And sometimes that cadence is nice because you don't have to give up 2 hours of your life every once a week. You can just go in and do it whenever. So that's a great tip. Okay, I think that's it. Thanks, guys, for reviewing Shadowrun, and let's do this again in a month.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.